الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over the receivers Last week we were discussing a hadith of Bukhari Sharif reported by Hazrat Atha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is a hadith a Qudsi in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira. Oh my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, verily we sent you as a witness, the giver of glad tidings, and also a warner to those people who are going to be disobedient or those who are going to reject, then for them it is a warning. Oh, you are a warner. وَحِرْزًا لِلْأُمِّيِّينَ And you are a protector for those who are the ummis, the unlettered. Then we discussed to some extent the sifats that have been mentioned in the first part of this hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, his character, is being mentioned in this hadith. And this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam transferred into the lives of the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Anta abdi. Now last week I explained that this is what Allah Ta'ala refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam as, or this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is referred to as in the Quran Sharif also. When it comes to the night of Miraj, Allah Ta'ala says, We took our abd. Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi. Laylam min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the perfect abd, the perfect servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when we use this word servant, we have other ideas of who a servant is. But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's abd has got a very, very high status. And especially Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the perfect abd. That means there is no question of any kind of disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the creator. He is the creator, so we can break every other desire of ours or any other desire or which is in conflict with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's wish and will and desire. Then we will break that desire, we will break that wish of ours. We will shatter it to smithereens, but we will not break the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the perfect abd, and this is what is required of all those who say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is my Nabi. He is my Rasul. He is the one that I believe in as the last and the final messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I am his ummati. So if we say that we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then it becomes necessary that we must become abd like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the abd of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Of course, we will not be able to reach those stages that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam enjoyed. He was chosen as a prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But what we mean is that we should try our level best to follow that pattern of abdiyat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam set in all our actions, in all our deeds. That we must remember that we are Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's servants. We are his slaves. No matter who the person may be, no matter how great the king may be, no matter how much of oil wells he has, and no matter how much of palaces he has, but he cannot get out of the abdiyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the slavery of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Which king can really get out of? Which person can really say that he is independent of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Which person can say? Of course, he can fool the world, or he can fool himself and say that I am independent. But deep down in the recesses of his heart, he knows that his sight doesn't belong to him. His hearing is not in his control. His speech is not in his control. His health is not in his control. His liver, heart and lungs, which are functioning, he does not even know what is happening inside. And when they can fail, and when the person can land in hospital, the person does not know. And who does not know about this? Kings and rulers of the world, when they reach old age or when they are on the dying bed, at that time they realize that nothing was really under our control. It was all a gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to us. So if Allah ta'ala gives it with His pleasure and to use it, there is nothing wrong with it. Increase your shukr and use it. But what I am getting across to you is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refers to him in this hadith a Qudsi, Anta abdi wa rasuli. You are my abd, perfect abd. We cannot become the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That door is closed. But in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we can get the stage of wilayat. We can get the stage of wilayat, the friendship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of the Siddiqeen. But abdiyat, to whatever extent we can adopt, we have to adopt. Now this is where we seem to fail. Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, who will be here inshallah tonight, and the program will take place at the madrasa because of his ill health. And if it's possible, then after Isha we'll try to bring him here. So he says that a person, when he leaves a country and goes to another country, then the laws of that country do not apply in the other country. If a person gives up citizenship of South Africa and he becomes a citizen of Japan or a national of Pakistan or some other country of the world, now whichever country he is going to go and settle, then the laws of that country will now apply to him. The laws of that country. Now the laws of the South African government are not going to apply to him. So by the changing of country, the laws also changed. And if the person changes 1 dozen countries, gives up citizenship of one and takes on another, and say if he has to obtain it, then he will be always under different governments and different laws. But a Muslim, a person who is a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a citizen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's kingdom. And he cannot escape the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's no question of changes in those laws, that if you are in South Africa, then namaz is first 5 times a day, and if you are in America, then it's 2 times a day, because the environment is very bad there. If you are in South Africa, then your zakat is 2.5%, and if you are in India, or if you are in Malawi, or in some other country, then it is less than that. If you are in South Africa, then certain laws apply, and if you are in another country, then other laws apply. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's laws, which are in the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will apply to a person everywhere, irrespective of where he goes. He cannot come out of the abdiyat and slavery of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Anta abdi wa rasuli. Now we can go on talking on this, there's such a mazmoon that's coming, but there's no time for that. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that sammaytukal mutawakkil. And I explained this also very briefly last week, that Allah Ta'ala is now addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as mutawakkil, the person who has got absolute trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His gaze is not on any person's wealth or property or anything else. He does not cast his gaze on the makhluq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He makes an effort in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, and he makes use of the means. There's nothing wrong with that. If he's in need of a loan, he will ask somebody for a loan. But he does not consider any person to be the Razzaq, that because of that person now he has to bend the rules of Sharia. At present, this is what we are doing today. Whilst in America, a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, a qari of the Quran Sharif, and an alim of deen. But it was a real lesson, it was an ibrat, and it is an ibrat, something to take lesson from for everybody in this world and in this audience. That this person went from Bangladesh, he went over, or Pakistan, and he went over to America. When I delivered a talk in one of those masjids there, then he came up to me with tears in his eyes. And he said that, Maulana, I have 3 daughters, 12 years, 15 years, 18 years, he gave some ages. And he said, 3 of them, what do I do now? After listening to your talk, I have now got the enthusiasm and urge in me to give them some Islamic education. So I said, don't you have some madrasas here? Can't you send them somewhere or give them some other, or send them somewhere? He says that they do not even know Alif Ba Ta. They don't even know Alif Ba Ta. These are their ages. 3 of them don't know even Alif Ba. So I said, but you are Hafiz of the Quran Sharif and you are an Alim. Of course, the way he was dressed, you couldn't even make it out. He said, yes, that's very true. But even if I cry tears of blood now, it's too late. He says, when we came over, our only goal and motive was to make money in this country. So I found employment in the first place with such a company where I couldn't even perform my Jummah Salat. And because of that, even my other Salats were neglected. Then I married a Christian woman. And at that time I had great ideas that Sharia allows the marriage to a Christian woman. See how Shaitan can whisper that Sharia allows a Muslim man under certain conditions to marry a Christian woman, but not the other way around. So therefore I had this great idea that I will marry this Christian woman and then I will make her a Muslim and then I will do this and do that and bring up my children and as Muslims. He says, but unfortunately nothing worked. So we can just imagine. So the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they remain the same wherever you go. So the tawakkul I was talking on, that they do not consider anybody else as razzaq, that there was no need for this person, he should have rather lived on dry bread and water in his country than leaving his country and going and facing this kind of a problem where his own Quran Sharif and his own hifz and where his own namazes and everything else was affected because he thought that risk was special in America. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, Anta sammaytuka al-mutawakkil laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz wala sakhabin fil aswaq wala yadfau sayyata bisayyah walakin ya'fu wa yaghfir. Now today I just want to, if we're going to carry on like this, we won't be able to complete even the first part. But something that's coming to my mind, which I want to get across to you, is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, something that's mentioned in this hadith is that he was not harsh, hard-hearted. His character was sublime. And this is what attracted people towards Islam. It wasn't Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sword that attracted people towards Islam. Which sword brought Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala into Islam? Which sword brought Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala into Islam? In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala took the sword to take Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's neck off. So which sword brought him to Islam? Which sword brought Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and so many other sahabas, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, which sword brought him into Islam? His sword was being feared by the Muslims in battle. So it is their akhlaq which brought them into Islam. The beautiful, sublime character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that those who are very dear to me, those from amongst you who are very dear to me and will be very close to me on the day of Qiyamah. Now who does not want the closeness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah? So he says, those amongst you are very dear to me and they will be very close to me on the day of Qiyamah. They are very dear and they will be very close. Those who have politeness and who have good character. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people are disliked by me and they will be distanced from me on the day of Qiyamah, who have harshness in their hearts and they have got bad character. They've got no politeness. Those who have been blessed with politeness have been blessed with a great share of goodness. And those who do not have politeness, they haven't been blessed with a share of goodness. And then if you look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, the hadiths upon hadiths, then it makes us realize that we are just paying lip service praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Around the world, the impression that is being created that the Muslims are being harsh, hard-hearted, they want nothing but revenge, they want nothing but murder and killing. Now of course that is the media's blowing up. There is no doubt that the amount of zulm and injustice that is being perpetrated upon the Muslim Ummah around the world, it makes one grief, it makes one sorry, it makes one hurt, it makes causes great pain. And what else can we do except make dua? But look at the humiliation, the disgrace and the suffering that they have to go through. Because whatever their category and whatever their stage and whatever their status and whatever may be the level of iman, but the fact is that they want to protect and safeguard their iman. They are not prepared to sell their iman. So we must look at that great quality in them, that whatever it may be, whatever weakness and shortcoming in their akhlaq and in their muamlat and in their character, but the fact is that those people are not prepared to accept any other faith and religion. They say, we are going to stay firm and steadfast on this iman of ours, even if our life has to go, even if we have to go into prisons, even if we have to suffer humiliation and disgrace, but we are Muslims. Now this is such a sifat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we do not know when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy descends and those people are all forgiven because of that steadfastness. And we will keep on criticizing. So that is a different issue. But the fact is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us happiness. And that will only come with good akhlaq and good character when we are going to behave in a manner that is befitting a Muslim. First of all, in our own homes. We are very quick to advise the world how they should behave and what their character should be and how honest and truthful and how just and fair and equitable in the dealings they should be. It is very easy to sit and advise the world. But we should look into our own lives and into our own homes. That are we really just? Are we really fair? Do our family members, do our friends, does our society feel comfortable with us? Or are they afraid of us? They're afraid of our temper. They're afraid of our arrogance. They're afraid of our pride. They're afraid of our abuse and of our obscenity and shamelessness. These things are causing offense to them. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, something that was glaring in his life was his beautiful character. His forgiveness knew no limits. Now that incident is a very famous incident, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given some dinars, or he had borrowed some dinars from one Jewish person. They were trading with Jews also in those days. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam borrowed from one Jewish person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created such conditions that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to borrow, so that people in his ummat may know that when you borrow, then what you should be doing. Now those people were such that they will lend the money to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will fix a time that after 10 days, 1 month, 6 months you must pay us. But then they will suddenly come after 2 days, 3 days, and they will demand to cause humiliation and embarrassment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So it was not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was delayed, it was that question of them coming before time. But even then, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, that the person comes, that this Jewish person, and he demands. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I don't have anything at this moment to pay you. Because it was not due date, but he says, I don't have anything to pay you. He says, if that is the case, then I'm not going to let you go from here. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is somewhere else, and this Jewish person is keeping him in bondage. And he says, I'm not going to allow you to go from here until you pay me my money. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have just sent a message and his friends could have come and they could have beaten up this Jewish person and they could have chopped off his neck. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes the Zuhar namaz there. He makes the Asr namaz. Maghrib namaz, Isha namaz, and Fajr namaz. They, with that Jew in his own home or wherever it was, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making his namazes there. Now his sahabas, when they come to know, they come and they try to threaten that Jewish person. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, he has the right. He has the right to demand what I am owing him. Immediately that Jew says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. And then he says that I did this because I had read in the Torah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be born in Makkah. His place of hijrah will be Madina Sharif. His name will be Muhammad. His father's name will be Abdullah. And he will be of sublime character. Whatever was mentioned in the Torah, he says, I wanted to see it. And I saw it in this first dealing with you. And I have no hesitation in accepting Islam. Now what would we have done if we had some kind of command also, or we had large number of friends also to assist us? We would have said, beat him up. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq won over these people into Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Islam starts spreading, lots of tribes started entering into the fold of Islam. But the Banu Hanifa tribe, there was one tribe by the name of Banu Hanifa, they were merchants. And they used to supply grains to Makkah Mukarrama. So they would not accept Islam. The leader was arrested. Now if the leader is arrested, then look at the treatment that he was given. No doubt because he was arrested, so therefore he was brought into the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and tied to one pillar. But he was treated extremely well. Food, water, everything was given to him. He was not even bound so tightly that he has great problem and difficulty. And this whole reason for binding him in the masjid pillar was so that he may see the akhlaq, the character, the salah, the crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in the masjid they used to see that. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, noor that was generating, was transferring into the hearts of the companions. And that fragrance that of his akhlaq was also being imbibed by his companions. So in every sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you could see that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So they treated him so well. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, what do you expect me to do with you? Now because he had so many Muslims were persecuted under his rule. So therefore he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if you have me killed, then it will be justice. If you have me freed, then you will be freeing a person who will be very grateful. And if you need compensation, then I will give you any amount of money that you require as compensation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left him. Second day the same thing, the third day the same thing, and then he had him released. He said, leave him, let him go. As soon as he said, let him go, he went to one of the gardens where there was a tap, or there was a well there where he drew water, he had a bath, and he came back into the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. And then he said, prior to this there was no religion that was more hated in my sight than the religion of Islam. And there was no face that was more hated in my sight than the face of you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was no city that was more hated to me than the city of Madina Sharif. But today there is no religion that is more beloved to me than the religion of Islam. And there is no person that is more beloved to me than you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no city that is more beloved to me than Madina Sharif. Now what is it that brought about this transformation and change in such a short while? And here for years and years we just cannot even change ourselves. Where can we change others? So akhlaq is something that came even before tabligh and before da'wat and before invitation towards deen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhlaq came first. If you have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, before his nubuwat, look at his akhlaq. The time has expired, therefore I will conclude, inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health, and another opportunity, we will continue. But this is what is required. So we must at the same time, whilst advising others, that they must bring good akhlaq into their lives, and be polite, and be gentle, and be kind, and be honest, and be truthful, and be noble, and be full of shame and haya and modesty and taqwa and zuhud and qanaat, we must make an extensive effort that this comes in our own lives. And the easiest way to get into our own lives is the company of the Ahlullah, whether we like it or not. those whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed with a heart that is filled with taqwa, filled with qanaat, filled with zuhad, and the heart which is filled with the noor and the tajalliyat of Allah ta'ala, and the heart which is a reservoir of ikhlas, when we are going to sit in their companies, even if they are completely silent, they don't speak, their silence is a speech because they generate a kind of noor that transfers. And if we sit with aqidat and azmat in their company, then we will find those sifats transferring into us very easily. So we have a golden opportunity in these days. Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, by all the ulama of the world, great, great ulama in Arabia and in India, Pakistan and others. So many great, great ulama are bayat upon his hands. Mufassirs, muhaddis, even in our South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, and so many others, why must they become bayat upon the hands of him? So we have an opportunity. He will be here, inshallah, for the next 4-5 days. So whatever time we can make to sit, inshallah, the majlis will be after Isha. Because of his health, it is scheduled to be held at the madrasa, that he has a bladder problem and stroke. But if possible, then after the Isha Salat, we'll try and get him into the Sahan. But if not, then at the madrasa. Even if he remains silent, there will be his poetry that will be recited, which is also a waz. And also there is a khadim of his, Hafiz Ziaur Rahman, who spent 3 or 4 years with him. And within that time, if you have to listen to him, you will think that it is Hazrat that is speaking in English. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make the best of this golden opportunity, because these people, they will not be amongst us forever and ever. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.